We are going to get started again. I would ask that you please take your seats. And first on the list would be Greg Ernst. I would ask that you just wait 1 minute. We have one counselor to return to their seat, please. He's out there. Okay, Mr. Ernst, please proceed.
Okay. My name is Greg Ernst. I'm from First Peninsula, so I'd be in Chasity's country. I'm not sure who may or may not have more skin in the game than me here. I've got between 4,400 and 4,500 feet of shorefront on the back part of my farm. In general, when our people came over, let's put it this way, in 1750, and my people came down, we signed an agreement, and I would love to know. I don't think we were British subjects yet, which would make it something like a treaty. And that would be that for in return for feeding the British in Halifax, we were granted properties. And the free use of the properties to be at no more than 55 shillings a year taxation. And if there would be anybody interested in examining the treaty aspect, because I don't think, again, we were British subjects at the time. We were foreign Protestants. And, you know, and so in general, I believe in freedom. In general, I believe I'm on the side of the landowner to be free to do with the property what they see fit. Our people put houses up without building inspectors and without regulations, that some of which are still standing from those times, and many of which would have been torn down, and it took a lot of work to tear them down, and they didn't need anybody to tell them how to build them. And so. It always concerns me when people seem to want to bow down and submit to more rules and more regulations and more red tape, and as one guy said, more expense. You know, you see the waterfront development, and you see the big places, and it seems, as one guy referred to here, is that it's not going to be a problem for the rich to develop their property. What's going to be a problem is for, you know, more marginal people to be able to do anything in the sea of expense which is coming. And yes, you can see that there's erosion along the coast, but I would encourage, and you know, and some want to talk about man-made climate change and 0.04% carbon dioxide having anything to do with that. I would say that I think the attitude of the people who promote such things is that if you're fool enough to believe that a lie that big, that 0.04% of anything is going sort of cyanide gas is going to affect much of anything, you're basically deserve what you get. I have maintained my property as a farm. If you drive along the Second Peninsula Road, you look across about a third of the backside of what you see is my property. It is a farm. It is untouched. It you know, the coast is pretty much as it was. Another thing that I have, you know, why not, if you want to do something about erosion, well, why not say, for instance, subsidize rocking along the coast? It's an expensive thing. I've got myself a little dozer, and there's plenty of rock on the property, but I've been so busy farming, I haven't gotten around to it yet. That would be something tangible that would help people protect a lot of property, actually do something that makes sense. As far as climate change and massive flooding and all these horror stories, I would refer you back to, I can't remember what year in the 1800s it was, but when Nova Scotia was an island. And this was well before, you know, the carbon levels increased or anything man-made. These things come along from time to time.
30 seconds, yep. Just so you know.
So I'll get off on another topic for the last 30 seconds, and that is that electric cars, in my view, given that we've got coal-fired plants and you're losing efficiency, is a silly idea. It's actually putting more carbon, if you care about carbon, it's putting more carbon to have electric cars in Nova Scotia than not. And so it shows the lack of critical thinking, which causes me to lose confidence in the ability of people even to devise regulations when they have that little critical thinking ability. But thank you for your time.
Thank you. Tyler Vino.
Good evening, members of council and mayor. My name is Tyler Vino from Broad Cove. I am one property owner here out of the 40-some hundred. I don't agree with this. I think we could slow it down, come up with some better solutions and answers. I would ask, why haven't more property owners showed up to the meetings and been contacted by council members? Thank you.
Thank you. Alex de Saint Sardos. I apologize for that pronunciation. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Sure. My name's Alex de Saint Sardos. I have two properties in Green Bay, and there's seven in our extended family. Mine's right on the coast. I'm nearly in the water. And I wasn't planning on being here or talking, so I apologize for not having anything prepared. So our property, when we bought it about 10 years ago, had lost 50 feet in the previous 50 years since the last time it was surveyed, so erosion, land loss, very much real. We see with every storm, my cousins have got a place very close to the water as well, and they have the misfortune of having a basement. It gets flooded, everything gets ruined. There's houses popping up very frequently in Green Bay, especially where this legislation is kind of coming, so everybody's rushing to build as close to the ocean as they can. So I see this as a good thing. It's currently a free-for-all. There's no rules. I'm okay with being told, no, you can't put a McMansion in the water or right on the edge of the water. It doesn't make any sense. But people do it. You can drive along the shoreline and see them. Everybody has to pay for the cleanup afterwards. It doesn't make sense to have no rules. You won't find a developed nation in the world that doesn't have rules around shoreline protection and building setbacks. You wouldn't cut down all the mangroves in Florida or Costa Rica because you own them so you could build a house. It wouldn't make any sense. We have rules about smoke alarms and distances for the electrical outlets from the ground. We have speed limits. Wouldn't we all have loved to have had rules to prevent the derelict ships in the Lahave River so we don't have to deal with them afterwards? How long has that taken to clean up? There's a reason for a lot of these rules. Coastal protection is not rocket science. It's pretty logical. Anywhere with a coastline usually has rules about building for the same, you know, because we can't trust ourselves to not do stupid things. Same with seatbelts and drinking and driving and a variety of other issues. So I guess as a coastal property owner who's losing property as we speak, I am very much for, you know, creating rules around construction and building and setbacks. When you do the province's new, they've created an app or website where you put in your community and your issues, and it, instead of putting coastal protection guidelines, if you follow that for our community in Green Bay, the only tangible suggestion it comes up with is property setbacks, building setbacks. So if you follow the province's app for our community, the only useful suggestion that pops up is building setbacks. So, you know, they've left it up to you guys to implement it, but it still makes sense. And it's not even that ridiculous. It's, you know, it's 30 meters. That's not that far. You know, if you own a lot of land, you can build 30 meters further back from the ocean. And you probably should. If you live here all year, you'll know that that's probably wise. So I guess that's really all I had to say, is I support any initiative to create some sort of rule about, you know, not building right out onto the rocks in an area that gets a lot of storm surge and sea level rise and erosion. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Karen Reinhardt.
I'm Karen Reinhardt. I live in New Cumberland, and I also have a place along the water in Crescent Beach, which I know in a very short time is going to be underwater. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. I didn't come prepared to speak either, but I put my name in just in case. So, to my mind, a lot of this deliberation by council began when the development that's happening at Little Crescent Beach became apparent to everyone in the community. There was a big meeting in Petite Riviere, which some of you attended. You never introduced yourselves, but we know you were there. And out of that meeting in Little Crescent Beach came a directive to the council to spend, to have municipal regulations in place by the end of the year, which would have been the end of 2023. Staff was directed to spend most of their time developing these regulations, and they did. And they came back to council in November with an excellent set of regulations, which would have probably satisfied most of the naysayers on that side of the fence. Satisfied me. My own feeling is that what came out of that council meeting, where what I considered excellent, excellent regulations, was completely and passed unanimously by your planning and advisory committee, was completely savaged here at the town, at the municipal council meeting. And what savaged it, to my mind, in fact, I could almost see in the eyes how it was happening, was the worry about devaluing people's properties. Now, we're not talking about devaluating everybody's property. We're talking about devaluing certain people's properties. And so now we have now is a very watered-down version of what can or cannot be done. And I have to admit that I am very, very ambivalent about this, because I want to see regulations. I want to see good, enforceable regulations. But what I see now in what's being presented by council is regulations that are so full of loopholes that you almost might as well have nothing, because the loopholes will allow people to infill, expand their property, their buildings, their structures by 100%. You've eliminated Area A, which was recommended as not buildable at all, not simply just institutional building. You have a 5-year review policy, which we tried to get council to lower, but that didn't fly either. So you have, in 5 years, the loophole-filled regulations are going to make a huge difference in our coastline. And that's not even talking about the ecological problems. It's talking about the development problems. And what someone has not mentioned here yet today is access. Now, if you go around the coast, what do you see? You're going to see buildings going up all along the coast, properties all along the coast, and if you're going to see no trespassing, fences. I think, as Peter Barr said in an earlier meeting, all we're going to be left with is the little pockets of parks that we've been allotted to have our access to our coast. And I think it's irresponsible of this council to go along with that. I think that's all I have to say, at least the first go around. Thank you.
Thank you. David Gravel.
Hello there. My name is David Joseph Gravel. I am a French person who just moved in Nova Scotia about 3 years ago. And when I heard about this city council, I thought it might be opportune to bring a little bit of my perspective to the situation. A lot of what we've been hearing has been, I want more policies, I want more red tapes because my city or my property has been eroding. And one of the problems I see is that a lot of what has been proposed is not actually going to help the common landowner to actually stop erosion. It's going to help him make it harder to sell his property or other kind of inconvenience like that. And I think that if we actually care about global warming or however you want to call it, and erosion, I think, is real. Water, if you leave it to its own device, will take over the land. If you don't believe me, just move to PEI, and you will see that 90-meter shoreline. High, not wide, high. And so I see the houses just about to fall, and it just happens. So I think that it's not going to actually achieve what we set out to do, and I think we need actual help. We actually need something that can be enforced. So the question is, who's going to enforce this? Is it going to be the municipality with the regulations, or is it going to be the police who's actually going to come on the shoreline and start measuring, oh, how is your property from the shoreline? So who's going to enforce this? Is this something that can be enforced? It has to be accountable. Somebody has to be able to actually enforce this. I think that we need real solution to real problems and help the common landowner to build, repair, and secure the coast. If that's what our objective is to stop erosion, and there is a difference between erosion and flooding. If you want to stop flooding, you're not going to do it. It's just going to happen. If you want to stop erosion, then put rocks on the side or however you want to see fit, something that will stop the water. If you guys are not satisfied with what I'm saying, I think that it's been clear that the proposal are not sufficient, which means that it's not good enough. You might as well tell the common guy that from now on, 30 meters of your shoreline is now owned by the District of Lunenburg, and then put rocks on every single one of them, and erosion will be done tomorrow. But you can't do that, because that would be stealing, and stealing is wrong. Talking of stealing, who's going to pay for this? We are, with our taxpayer money. And I think that it would be given the inflation rates that are going on in the province, in the country, a grave sin to bring more red tape, provision, different legislations to make the common guy who's just trying to feed his family even more money out of his pocket. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the list of speakers that I do have. I would ask if there are any members of the public who have not registered but who wish to come forward to address council on these amendments. Are there anyone here who would like to come forward who has not spoken yet? Yes? If you would like to come forward, please, and state your name and your community and... Again, there is a timer on side of you for the 5 minutes, and if you wish to speak a second time, then you will be able to come up a second time.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Brent Evans. We live on Middle Road in Kingsburg on the Rosehead Peninsula. We have a property that we purchased a couple of years ago, and we were looking to build a house on that property. Just recently, we were talking to somebody who was designing our home, and that question came up during that discussion, which resulted in a call to the Lunenburg District offices, at which time we were informed that the setback is no longer 20 meters, but it is actually now 30 meters from the top of the bank, rather than 20 meters from the high water mark. So that was literally the first notice that we'd ever received, and it was only when we were asking the question about this issue. Well, we weren't even calling to ask about that issue. Actually, it was about the height of the property. So that was a surprise to us. So I'd heard a number of people say that they were that they brought this up, the lack of consultation, I guess, until now. And I was surprised to hear when we talked to this official that it had already passed first reading. So it was surprising. Maybe if we were around, we were out of the country for the winter, maybe we would have seen some kind of public notices, but we didn't see anything like that. Now, it surprises us because while we absolutely agree, there climate change is real, there should be regulation. I see some shocking kinds of development on the waterfront. And we don't want to see houses floating away like we've seen in Newfoundland or other places. We bought this property because it was at the top of a cliff on bedrock. So we're about 40 feet above the ocean. And the part of our property we're going to build on, we had a substantial frontage, and the part we were going to build was just adjacent to a cliff. Like, you know, it's almost vertical there with no effects whatsoever. And I understand from talking to some experts that the Rosehead Peninsula has looked like this for 300 years and will look like this for 300 more. So it's not really the highest risk sort of area. And yet this has sort of been implemented in a blanket way that it's that we now have to look at 30 meters back, which, again, we have a substantial size property. So moving 30 meters isn't terrible. The only trouble is that the part of our property where we're looking to build, we actually have a neighbor who is about 10 feet from the edge of the cliff and is about 6 feet from our property line. So the further back we go, the more likely we are just to be looking at the back of this neighbor's house, which, of course, their house was built at a time when there wasn't any kind of regulation. Does it justify? We don't want to be that close. But we would like to see maybe a more measured response in that it would take into account the specifics of a building site rather than just sort of a blanket regulation that it be 30 meters back from the bank. That might suffice for more sandy area, but for something like bedrock, perhaps it could be, you could consider something closer. That's basically all I had to say.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers who have not spoken yet who would like to come forward at this time? Again, are there any other speakers who would like to come forward at this time who have not spoken? If not, are there any speakers who would like to speak for a second time? Andrew, I seen your hand first. If you would like to come forward, please. Again, state your name for the record and your community. And 5 minutes again is what we will continue.
Good My name's Andrew Himmelman. My family and I live in Newcombville, District 4. I'm going to start off here where I was cut off before because of the time. I was told eventually this document is going to be used as a foundation to create bylaws around inland lakes and rivers, just not yet. But the planning department, both in person and online, has stated, no, this is not the case. In a May 14th council meeting, Letha Hasem stated, inland flooding will definitely be addressed by the flood mapping. We can't get away from that. So we have council saying inland flooding is going to be included eventually. We have the CAO saying that it will be addressed later. And then we have the planning department saying, no, the coastal development regulations will only apply to coastal areas on the ocean. Your role as council, as I believe, is to vote using an informed decision. Do you believe you have honestly and properly been informed by staff? Have you read the IPCC reports that all this is cited from? Have you done any research outside what has been presented to you by staff? How many landowners have you spoken to personally on your accord? I asked council during public input about the data and where it was coming from. I also asked, why wouldn't the 3.97 meters be broken down by each height measurement of concern? 1.57 meters for sea rise, 1.63 meters for storm surge, and 0.7 meters for high tide. Why hasn't this been amended by staff and the public shown where this data is derived from? Also, future council members can look at the previous data 5 years down the road as mandated and compare to the next current data. I'm not sure how many members of the public have actually taken the time to read the IPCC 6 report before applauding everything that is being presented before you, but it is 2,409 pages, if you were wondering. This is a direct excerpt. Global mean sea level rise above the likely range approaching 2 meters by 2100 and in excess of 15 meters by 2300 under a very high GHG emission scenario, which is 8.5. Low confidence. Here I have some more data from the 6th report. Very low emissions scenario. The sea level will rise by 0.5 meters by 2100. Low scenario, 0.65 meters. Intermediate, 0.75 meters. And high, 0.9 meters. And the very high emission scenario measurement is right around the 1 meter in height. In summary, the best guess all these scientists have is around sea level rise is going to be somewhere 0.63 to 1.01 meters by 2100, and that's with medium confidence. Now, other municipalities have decided to go with lower measurements, like PEI having a 23-meter setback, HRM is a 20-meter setback, and PEI has regulation, and this is a direct excerpt, where adjacent to a beach, a buffer having a medium width of 60 feet or 60 times the annual erosion rate for the area, whichever is greater, measured from the top of the bank adjacent to the beach. The reality is we have new coastal property owners that have not lived here for generations. They are reaching out to Modal to help prevent Mother Nature from damaging their property and ultimately their choice of ownership. Hurricanes just didn't start in 2020 with the real estate boom around here. I assure you that storm surge has been around for many years. My concerns around the Modal data that Modal is using is that the latest and greatest has come directly from a United Nations group of scientists that do not live here. It is not coming from our own federal or even provincial government. We have local planners here taking estimate info and best guesses from 2,000-page documents produced by the UN. The scenario they have chosen is above and beyond being likely, with low confidence of even occurring. I presented a federal natural resources document during public input from 2021, directing planners on what sea level rise should be used, and that was not even followed up on. Now, is this document actually going to protect the coast? The simple answer is no, it's not. This is to protect people from their own choices of where they live. This municipality is pandering to the coastal protection activists who have not fully read these documents and are taking Modal staff at face value and think, oh, well, at least it's a start. I'm going to give you two examples on how this will do nothing. The development at Crescent Beach, which went through the proper permitting processes, would not be stopped by this new set of rules. Why? Well, the Nova Scotia government sets the infilling high water mark, and now Modal is going to just make the property owners infill a greater amount. Instead of a 2-meter wall on Crescent Beach, you would have a 4-meter wall, along with 4 meters of infill. The owner obviously can afford an erosion assessment report, which would then set the house 15 meters from the top of that wall. Would anything change? No. Second example is that most of the coastal lots are finger lots. They are long, narrow lots full of our local evergreens. Anyone will be able to tell Modal, I'm going to build 30 meters from the shore to avoid development permits, and it will get approved. After that, they will be able to go in and clear cut right to the shore. Is that going to prevent erosion? No. This document is not about saving the coast, but is more so about how you can build and live on your land. It is modifying where you lie your head at night. A common thing I've heard from the public is about infilling. This does not prevent infilling. It actually promotes infilling.
Up at this time. I'd ask that you wrap up. I ask other people to finish in their time frame.
Well,
so I would like to stick with the same rules for everyone.
Yep. Well, hopefully I get another chance. We have no one else here. I ask Chair that we could extend my time to 10 minutes. I've stayed up until 1 o'clock this morning doing this document. I'm a taxpayer, and I feel that since no one else is here talking, why can't I? Are we going to sit here in silence?
I would ask that if Ms. Reinhart would like to come up, then we will allow you to finish your presentation then.
Thank you.
So you can finish, yes. Again, please state your name and the community that
you're
in. Sure.
Karen Reinhart, New Cumberland, Crescent Beach. As I said before, I am very ambivalent about these regulations that you want to pass. I want regulation. I don't think that this regulation is very good. But I also have heard that this regulation is not expected to pass second reading. And from what I'm hearing today, there's a lot of people who don't want it to pass second reading. I'm not even sure I want it to pass second reading. But what worries me is that if it's not passed for second reading, that's the end of it. That this council will have no appetite to go back and revisit these regulations. Maybe to revisit the initial regulations that were brought forward, which is not an impossible thing to do. That this council will say, well, we spent a year and a half on it, and we're done. And I think that's an abdication of your responsibilities. And if that happens, also I understand that the new council may be in place in October. Maybe not a completely new council, but certainly there will be some changes. And that new council may or may not have any appetite to visit this subject again. I don't know what to say about this, because we need something. What you've got is not very good, because there are too many loopholes for the people that do want to continue to develop unabashedly everywhere. So that's really all I have to say. I just would like to ask you, really, I would like to ask you to go back to your staff who presented you very good regulations in the beginning, but were sidelined by interests of a special group of people who didn't want their properties devalued. And go back to what you had before, look at it, and try and bring it back to the table before some of you are not here anymore. Thank you.
Andrew, if you'd like to come forward.
Thank you again. I think everyone knows my name by now.
If you would state it, though, for those
Andrew
on YouTube
Himmelman,
listening.
Newcombville, District 4.
Thank you.
Just let me find my spot here, please.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone will be able to tell Modal I'm going to build 30 meters from shore to avoid development permits, and it will get approved. After that, they will be able to go in and clear cut right to the shore. Is that going to prevent erosion? No. A common thing I've heard from the public is about infilling. This does not prevent infilling. It actually promotes infilling, so you're above a flood zone. And if the province gives you the okay, there is nothing anyone can do about it. Anyone can pay for a wetland assessment proposal, and then you ask the province for a wetland alteration. This typically costs about $7 per square foot, and you are allowed to infill that area, and then that compensation goes towards wetland restoration in a different area. I truly implore the supporters of this new MPS to learn what the actual regulations are and do a sniff test on this document. Another thing I'd like to add is that members of this council sat at an NSFM spring conference and heard provincial representative Megan McMorris present new actions that the province is putting in place. Number 9 is a province-wide erosion risk assessment tool, which is about 2 years away. Number 10 is enhanced coastal flood mapping, which will be made public March 31st of 2028. How confident, Council, are you voting on this MPS and the likelihood it's going to line up with provincial regulations in 4 years' time? And if the provincial government is willing to wait until 2028 to publicize a formal coastal flood mapping document, what is the rush for Lunenburg County to push this through now? We can utilize this time to research, learn, and make an educated, properly planned coastal protection plan that will do what it is supposed to do, protect our coasts. In my opinion, the province dropped this hot potato in February of 23, and our mayor started this project immediately after in March. Why? NSFM getting funding now to implement this? Is Modal getting funding? This MPS is being pushed through by the mayor, and our tax dollars have been funding it. She is also recently the new president of the NS Federation of Municipalities. The province was getting too much flack, and they knew it was going to be easier to backdoor some regulation via Modal and then apply it throughout the province. NSFM has been advertising to hire within the last month a coastal land use planning coordinator and a flood adaptation facilitator prior to this even being read in and approved. This process is lip service at best, and it has been rushed in prior to the election this fall. On the surface, it's pandering to a group of people for votes and not engaging with the actual landowners. In May 14th, Council Member Letha Hasem said that the Minister of Environment, who was at the NSFM Spring Conference, implored the approximate 150 municipal representatives who attended to do the work the province won't do. I'm about to wrap up. I want to remind everyone about the MGA Section 9, the purpose of a municipality is to provide good government, provide services, facilities, and other things that, in the opinion of council, are necessary or desirable for all or part of the municipality. I implore council to table this MPS so all affected landowners are properly notified. That's 4,488, not 111. And ask staff for amendments to this document that works for everyone, that works for the people who have lived along the shore for generation after generation, who do not need you to tell them how to live on their property. Create something that doesn't devalue properties, which will also ultimately drive down tax revenue, a plan that does not take full control over people's right of land usage. Create something that is a development permit system on a property-by-property case. Create something that actually promotes and educates landowners on erosion issues and protection methods. And finally, create something that will protect the environment and our beautiful coastline for future generations to come. And if anyone's curious, you can find the province's new plan. It's on the NSFM website from the spring conference, and it says the flood tool is going to be done in 2028. So thank you, everyone. I know this took three times to do, but please contact the 4,488 landowners that this is actually going to affect. You can't vote unless you're properly educated or you've properly communicated towards this. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers who would like to speak at this time? Any other speakers? If not, we are going to recess until 7 o'clock, where if there are new speakers here, they will speak at that time. Thank you.